We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you be with us now and guide us as we meditate upon another precious section of the Word which you've given us. I pray that you open our hearts and make them receptive to it. We pray that you open the meaning of Scripture to us as only you can do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 3. The words of the bride. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, "Saw ye him whom my soul loveth?" We almost feel like standing up and cheering here, setting the stage. Finally, we see a ray of light piercing through the dark skies. Finally, the bride catches a break. Look at the context. Verse 1 of chapter 3. By night on my bed, I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. Seeking but not finding, number 1. Now we come to chapter 3, verse 2. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets and in the broad ways. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. Seeking but not finding, number 2. But now suddenly, as the bride is wandering through the streets of the city in the broad places, the watchmen enter into the mix. Hallelujah! The watchmen that go about the city found me. Turning to a little different application here, a little bit different way of looking at it, change the picture a bit. The lost sheep has been found. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But the watchmen have done their job well, diligently and tirelessly seeking for the lost bride. They have finally found her. Another soul has been freed from the mouth of the lion. And as we can well imagine, there is joy among the angels in heaven over this blessed event. And there should be joy among us also. I've never preached on this verse in Song of Solomon before, but if I had, either up in Duluth or in Good Shepherd of Beaver Dam or Emmanuel of Flint, I would have asked the congregation to stand up and sing the common doxology in the Lutheran hymnal number 644. We all know the words. And even though we're separated by many miles here and we're together by the speakerphone, I really don't see why we can't do this. So as a congregation all together, let's all stand up And let's sing the common doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him all creatures here below. Praise him above ye heavenly. Now, I couldn't hear those of you who are on the speakerphone singing, but I'm sure we can do better than that. A lost soul has just been saved. The watchmen have just found the bride. So let's try this one more time. All praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. No, wait a minute. Let's look at this again. Everybody be seated. What you have heard in the sermon so far is the product of every commentator that I looked at during the week on this verse. But perhaps we're barking up the wrong tree. maybe, just maybe, there is another way of looking at things here. A way that can make a tremendous difference. I'm going to give you the take that I have on it as I see it. And I followed during the week what I've been preaching to you for many years here. And that is rule number one, always start by praying for the guidance of the Holy Spirit when you're studying Scripture. And rule number two is never forget rule number one. Commentaries can be helpful, but you've got to let the Holy Spirit speak to you from His book first. If you don't, you can be greatly led astray. And I believe that we have a good example of this right here. The watchmen being praised for diligently doing their duty and seeking out a lost soul? I don't think so. The truth of the matter is that these watchmen are the worst enemies the bride has. Let's take a closer look. We've got to look at the context of things. Remember when we first started studying the book of the Song of Solomon? Chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 read this way. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Then verse 2, it's the bride talking. Let him, meaning Jesus Christ, she doesn't have to name him because we know who she's talking about. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. And this was a very, very odd way of starting a book. Only the Holy Spirit would do it this way. The book begins in a phrase in media res, which means in the middle of things. It jumps into the thing right away where the bride is madly in love with her bridegroom. That's how the book starts. The one doing the speaking here is already the bride of Jesus Christ. Now, there's some truth here about her past. It is true that in the past, she was a lost and condemned creature. That's true. And it was also true that she was found. But she was found by her good shepherd and his Holy Spirit. God found her, she did not find him. And these watchmen that we're looking at in the text had absolutely nothing to do with it. Now, the bride may have wandered a bit every now and then, like we all do, but that doesn't mean that she was lost. The bride here in the book of Song of Solomon is not lost. She has been found. And her status is that even now, through faith, she is the bride of Jesus Christ. So we're not talking about a lost soul being found here and plucked from the jaws of a lion. We're not talking about that at all. There's something far different. It is true that she is seeking and not finding. We've just seen that. She was seeking for her beloved bridegroom. Twice this is mentioned in chapter 3, before the verse we're looking at this morning. By night, on my bed, I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. Verse 2, I will rise now and go about the city in the streets and the broad ways. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. There's a truth here. A lost sheep does not go seeking for the shepherd. It's the shepherd that's seeking for the lost sheep. But here you have the bride twice it mentions in this chapter. She's seeking for her beloved. She is not a lost soul at all. Spiritually, she is in very excellent health. Her bridegroom has separated himself for a time, and she's searching for him, which is exactly what she should be doing. But again, the lost sheep does not search for the shepherd. And the bride here is not a lost sheep. So we don't sing a praise to God here for plucking a burning coal out of the fire. We don't sing praise to him for finding one that was lost and condemned. He's already done that. But that's not what the book of the Song of Solomon is all about. Son of God said this, and I'm starting in Luke chapter 15, verse 3. He spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost till he find it? Again, the lost sheep isn't searching for the shepherd. The shepherd's searching for the lost sheep. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep, my sheep which was lost. He doesn't say, my sheep that was lost has found me. Let's have a party. No, it was the other way around. I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons, so-called just persons, like the Pharisees, which need no repentance, or at least they don't think they need it. Okay, so to understand this verse, we've got to understand what the situation is here. The bride is anything but lost. She is seeking for her beloved. And this is characteristic of every one of God's elect. It is a daily occurrence in the life of every single one of us. Let's paint the scene here and look at this scenario as we look a little closer at this verse. I believe that there is a time lapse in the middle of the verse that we're looking at. And this is not an uncommon occurrence in Holy Writ. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will put a time lapse in the middle of a verse that might last for years. I believe there's a time lapse here. So we're looking at the first part of the verse where the bride, who is searching for her bridegroom and not finding him, says, the watchmen that go about the city found me. Now, we looked at this city last week. She was looking in the broad places. Wide is the gate and broad the way that leadeth to life and destruction, rather, that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. We saw that as a picture of the visible church. So the watchmen that go about the city found me. Now let's ask this question. What do you suppose unfolded after these watchmen had found the bride walking in the streets of the city in the broad places? The scene could have unfolded somewhat like this. Probably the first thing they did was sign her up as a member of the congregation. And they probably signed her up as an adult convert. That looks very good on the statistics for the year. Another adult convert made. A lost one that has been found. They probably wanted to get her involved in some of the organizations of the congregation. That's one of the tricks of the trade. Get them involved in things. maybe joins the choir, ladies' guild. Oh, and then this. They probably also gave her envelopes to drop into the collection plate during the service during the week. All of this, if you look at it outwardly, can seem to be very good. Most of the members were undoubtedly very happy and content with everything. And it was a friendly church. But the bride felt something missing. She sensed that something was not quite right. Yes, the choir music was good. Yes, the people were friendly. And yes, the fellowship was good. And yeah, the sermons were interesting. But there was something wrong. And so she asked the watchman a question. To whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? Amidst all the glitz and glamour, she had failed to find her bridegroom. She still hadn't found him. And he was the one she'd been searching for. So she asked the question of the watchman. And listen to their answer. I'm going to read the question, and then I'm going to read the answer. The watchman that go about the city found me, to whom I said. Now here's the question. Saw ye him whom my soul loveth? And here's the answer. Silence. Silence. And this silence speaks volumes. We'll get into that in a minute. Looking at watchmen, the key chapter in Scripture that teaches about watchmen is Ezekiel chapter 33. I'm going to read the first 9 verses. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, Ezekiel, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. So the watchman here is doing exactly what he's supposed to do. He's standing high on the hill. He's looking over the plain, and he sees an enemy army approaching. He grabs a trumpet and blows it. And everybody in the city hears that. An enemy is coming. Now, do you believe the watchman, or do you not? That's the question. The ones that believed it saved their lives. The ones that didn't were killed, but their blood was on their own head. Now we look at another version of the watchman here. There's another side to this coin. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So nobody in the city wanted to hear the sound of the trumpet. They didn't want an enemy army to come. They wanted to live in peace. But when an enemy army was coming, if the watchman was faithful, he blew the trumpet and he warned them and he told them some things that they did not want to hear. And a lot of times they would persecute the messenger rather than the one that's giving the message. Kill the messenger. If the people had itching ears and the watchman didn't blow the trumpet, even though he saw the danger coming, but he wanted to keep the people happy, well, then there was death on both sides. The people were killed, and that was their own fault, too. They couldn't blame the watchman. But the watchman also was judged because he didn't give the warning. And then, verses 8 and 9, when I say to the wicked... No, verse, start with verse 7. So thou, son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the words of my mouth, and warn them from me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked man from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. So there are watchmen and there are watchmen. And the soul of the watchman is as much, if not more, in danger than the soul of the people that he's preaching to. He should remember that. There's a terrible penalty for catering to people who have itching ears and telling them what they want to hear instead of what God wants them to hear. And that's characteristic of the false prophets. They cry, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And it doesn't go well with them at the final judgment day. Either people or prophet. So there are watchmen and there are watchmen. What kind of watchmen are we talking about here in Song of Solomon chapter 3, verse 3? The watchmen that go about the city found me. What kind of watchmen were they? I'm not going to sing the praises of these watchmen. I believe they were devils. They were wolves in sheep's clothing. That's exactly what they were. You know, some watchmen are concerned about the outcome, the physical outcome. Others are concerned about the truth. These guys were concerned about the outcome. They could have cared less, couldn't have cared less about the truth. The watchman found the bride. Listen to the words of the Son of God in Matthew chapter 23, beginning at verse 15, where the watchmen here are described as the scribes and Pharisees. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye made him twofold more the child of God of hell than you yourselves. Well, this is exactly what was happening here in the streets of the city, in the broad places. These watchmen were, they looked very, very diligent. They were searching the streets at night, but they were walking in darkness. And they were looking for converts to their church. Couldn't have cared less about the souls. That's quite evident. Notice here that these watchmen, quote unquote, do not answer the bride's question. Saw ye him whom my soul loveth? Silence. The false prophets don't have the slightest idea where the bridegroom is. Only those who have seen Christ themselves will be instruments to lead others to him. Matthew 7, verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many mighty wonderful works? Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquities. These watchmen never answered the bride's question because they couldn't. Saw ye whom my soul loveth? And the truth is this, that even as Christ will say to them at the last day, I never knew you, even so it's true of them right now that they never knew him. They never knew him. Little wonder that they couldn't answer the bride's question. We have not, sadly, heard the last of these watchmen. They show up like a broken penny, a penny that's marred and tarnished. Thank you. They show up like a tarnished penny. Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 6, the watchmen come by again. The bride again is searching. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone away. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. That's chapter 5, verse 6. Now, this is chapter 5, verse 7. The watchmen that went about the city found me. What did they do? They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. These watchmen are not friends to the bride. They're the worst enemy she has. Son of God, again in Matthew 23, 37, 38, 39. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, but ye would not. Then what did he say? Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. That's in Matthew 23. The opening words of Matthew 24 read this way, And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. This was a beautiful structure. Herod had been working on it for 40-some years, and it still wasn't finished. Wanted to give him a tour of it. Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. So, the Son of God was handed over to the Romans, crucified, dead, and buried, and he rose again the third day, and 40 days later ascended into heaven. However, everything looked the same as far as the temple was concerned. The sacrifices were still being performed. The priests were still functioning. The choirs were still singing. The sermons were still interesting, but Jesus was not there. It all looked so good on the outside, but Jesus was not there. And if there were any elect attending in those days, they would ask the same question that the bride did of the watchman. Saw ye him whom my soul loveth? Have you seen Jesus in this mess? We hear the choir singing. See that? Friendly people, everything's going on good. Everything's looking good. But where is the Son of God? Have you seen him? Well, Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And if he's not there, none of this other stuff makes any difference. It just doesn't. In our own day, you can't help but think of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers, the people having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. When the bride realized that the watchmen were not answering her question, she left. She left. That's another story for another day. God willing, we'll get into that next week.